by some of the comments today.
Apologies for phone from cancer, this cancer, cancer McCauley, cancer, David Taylor, Danny Moore.
Cancer Glenn Hannah, who had a motion.
There you go.
Yeah.
I don't know where the hell is after his separation.
It's up to Bob. He fell in the shower on Sunday night and told me to swim again.
Oh, yeah, joke.
Fell in the shower.
Any declarations of conflict of interest?
No.
Happy enough for that. Item number 3 is the action sheet of the last meeting held on the 23rd of January, which I couldn't attend because it was in sunny times. Mm-hmm. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, page 10. Page 11, page 12. If we have a proposal or second of biography before we take matters right now, Any matters right now that you want?
Yeah. No, just not on next time.
Do you have anything
to
say? No. Okay, enough. Right, we now have two notices of motion. We have one from Councillor Gunhammer. He's not here, but I think Jared will speak to it. You want to go ahead, John?
Yes, thank you, Chair. Yes, I would like to speak to on this motion, Chair. Councillor Hannah's motion essentially expresses frustration that we do not appear to make progress on the dog fouling issue. It seems to be serial offenders who are out there who don't seem to listen, and they're not worried about health and safety, and they're not worried about their bylaws, and it seems that they're just thumbing their noses, basically, at council. And what Councillor Hannah's motion is essentially calling for more decisive action. And I agree with them on that, that council needs to take a different approach. If we're to continue as we are, well then, I have the feeling that the potential and the problem could get potentially worse and not better. The council needs to get tough, and I think that's really where his motion is coming from. There seems to be those that just carry on regardless, and I've witnessed it firsthand as well. So these offenders need to understand that council means business, and that includes communicating the fact that we are going to get tough and send a message out there, and that does mean been more proactive and enforcement, imposing fines as part of it. Yes, all of the good. I do welcome the item to do with the workshop, and I think there's some excellent ideas being proposed there. And I certainly look forward to that. I think it will be an opportunity for every councillor to put in what they feel as a way forward. Look at other councils, what they're doing, and they're basically broadening it out. But essentially, that's all I want to say at this stage. So, motion chair, thank you.
Now, our system doesn't work like fantastic, so there are two lights. Who's in first? Your own mate, someone in the middle, right? Terry?
Hello, thanks very much, Chair. Annalise, and I would like it gives me pleasure to second Glenn's motion. As I say, I know Rob has passed. All councillors here will be getting contact by members of the public about dog fouling, and I know the only area in Rowallan has been prolific this past way, you know what I mean, and as I say, we've contacted the staff all, and I place on record my appreciation with our enforcement officer, Neil, and you know, the man, I don't know how he can get from one part of the sector to the other, but he works hard and does his best. But it is important that we do send out a message to those who constantly flank the system and never let the dog, you know, fend whenever that, you know, we mean business. And as I said, I do echo the sentiments expressed, that it's good to see a workshop being called where all councillors can come along and have an input into the discussions. And this one is putting into action. It's just putting things in action. We need to send out a clear message that we're not going to target dog ground at all. As I say, we're through various workshops, through various meetings, and then with our neighbourhood services meeting previously and whatever, you know, we'll have that all roadmapped. But would that be people out there on the street want to see action and they want to see results, and those who constantly ignore the rules and common decency should be brought to bear when they could. And I think one of the options that we do need to look at is that if you can be named, if you're urinating publicly in the street, or if you're drinking publicly, yet whenever your dog offends, for some reason or another, the bylaws prohibit names being mentioned. So I think we need to look at our bylaws as well. But enough for another day, just I would second the motion.
Councillor Walker and Councillor Kelly.
Sure. Thank you very much for letting me in. I'm not on this committee, I come specifically for this item. I think it's a motion that we need to take seriously, because every one of us as elected representatives are getting on the neck in relation to dog foul. Now, I don't blame it on council officers or that. I blame it on the people out there that's letting their dogs do it. Now, there's two motions here. One from Glenn and one from Councillor Henry. While I support the motions, I don't support the attack on council officials within one of the motions. I actually think it's wrong. We as councillors should be working with our officers to try and work our way through this. So we should, rather than condemn the officers, because the finger can point at us too, because we as councillors could be accused of not doing enough to deal with this. Now, I welcome the workshop, and I think it will tie in to other aspects of the new working group that we have, that Kerry had mentioned there in relation to it. In the past, I have raised through motions that, and we could go away and look at this again, and this even went back to the old Down District Council. Why can we not name and shame people who are caught for dog foul? Because dogs have been caught, or they've been caught for letting their dogs foul. I think we could, someone at the time, through a legal opinion, was there could be a wee bit of a grey area there in relation to that. I don't think that's good enough. As Terry said, if you're caught urinating in the street, if you're caught drinking in the street, or throwing litter down, your name will end up appearing in the paper. So, well, and another initiative that I asked the council to support a number of years ago, and Craig Avon Council at the time had carried this out, and dog fouling went down 95%. And I have the photograph there, which they put up in hotspot areas, and it basically stated, thoughtless dog owners were watching you walk your dog away from a fine. And basically, the other part of that saying had CCTV, even though there wasn't. But they put that up in hotspot areas, and Craig Avon Council at the time, the dog fouling dropped by 96 or 95%, and it's simple things like that. So hopefully that can be fed into the system whenever we're dealing with this in the workshop. And finally, when these people are caught, they need to be hit hard. Is there any way we can up the fines from their current standing, whatever they are at the minute? What are they at the minute? £50? £80? Or £80? Can we not up that to £200? Can we not look at that there, and through our own bylaws and that there, and bringing something forward, up it and that there? But I welcome the workshop. It's something we need to get to grip with, So we do. I'm not blaming officers. I would never blame officers in that regard. I think we're all in this together. Councillors, officers, the lot of us. And we need to work something up that we can go out there and say to the public, we're dealing with this here. So let's all do it together rather than point the fingers at one another or point the fingers at certain officers, because certainly I'm not pointing the finger at anybody. I've been working with officers to try and get through this and try and get something on the ground there that's working.
Commissioner Morris, a couple of questions have indicated, I'm taking in the order that they have indicated, Commissioner Clark, Commissioner McMurray, Commissioner Fodigan, and Commissioner O'Hara.
Chairperson. I suppose to start with, I'd like to point out that we have a dog pound strategy. We've rolled out the first component of that, and looking to roll out the second element of it. So a lot of that has to do with marketing, a strategy that is targeting the people who are in town. I would say a dog pound is a scourge on our community, as everybody else has said. And I think it's important that we learn from all the councils. You know, if there's good practice out there, then we certainly should be learning from them. And they should be learning from us as well. You know, there's components that things that we're doing well that all our councils can learn as well. I think an issue, and we're talking about the bylaws, I think an issue should be looked at for a reason before, is in our open spaces, councils, open spaces. There should be an onus on people to be carrying bags to clean up after their pet. An enforcement officer should be asked, anybody walking with the dog, have you bags with you? And if they haven't, then they should be fined them for that very reason. And I think that's something we need to look at. This is people, there is some vendors, there's no doubt that they go into the public park, particularly at the edge of dark, and just let the dogs fly. And they do the same early morning as well. And they do the exact same in the housing estates as well. They just let the dog out through the gate. Dog goes out the fence. And there's no enforcement, no amount of enforcement officers would stop them. They wouldn't be able to cover every estate right across the district. So I think there's an onus also on the general public, because the general public knows who's offending, particularly in the housing estates. They know who's let their dogs out to foul every day of the week. So there's no risk them that they have to give the information forward as well. And I think we have to make that call as well. And councillors leave our own as well. If we can pick up that intelligence, we need to be bringing that also. You know, to enforcement officers, the serial offenders are reporting them. I think if we talk about it's ironic that these two motions, pretty similar, except one goes attack our officers, and I think that's unfair. When we go into a race process, we ask our officers to reduce the amount of spend. And then, ironically, the two motions follow us setting the rate, and we were calling for extra resources and to follow the example of ours. And I think it was to recruit all these extra enforcement officers. So we are already undermined our race process and the amount of money that we have ring-fenced to deliver frontline services. So the discussion should have happened during the race process. And we should have been saying, if we want extra officers, how many hundreds of thousands of pounds are we going to put into the race every year to deal with that? We didn't do that. We got our officers to set the rate and then decided that we needed more officers, more workers. So I'd be interested to hear how we're going to get around that. And I know the workshops are being organised in regards to look at sort of solutions. But particularly the second one is clearly saying either through privatisation that we bring in extra enforcement staff or the other one. Those talk about, you know, an increase in staffing and enforcement area. So clearly you're asking for more resources in that regard. I'd be interested to hear from the officer in regards to that. There's also some body cameras for enforcement officers. We have to protect our enforcement officers as well, because it can be very aggressive. I can imagine that when an officer approaches a person who will not cooperate, will not clean up after the dog, but the officer might have a suspicion the day in that offer. And I suppose finally, I would like to know how many enforcement officers we have across the district and what are they. Because when we're talking about dolphin enforcement, there's other issues in enforcement as well. There's the management of our car parks in regards to picking the owner again down the park where you have serial boy racers, handbraking, you know, and slightly going off the motion. But it's a serious issue also that we can't live after our public open spaces in our car parks. And the green space above Donner Park in Newcastle is the same issue. The place was wrecked, I was there at the weekend, yeah, and it's absolutely destroyed again. You know, and that's our gateway into the noise. You know, so we need enforcement officers for that as well. So I think it has to be more of a cohesive approach to enforcement, not just dog, but as we better, you know, in regards to our open spaces, our anti-social behaviour, all that sort of stuff. Mm. It has to be an enforcement package.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, I'll not dwell too much on going over all the points. But again, it's well worth doing the workshop. Again, I mean, I still can't understand politely why we can't enforce hotspot areas where dog fouling is prevalent. Leads, the fact that we need to keep the dog on the lead is dead simple. Case in point, Castlewell Lake, dogs aren't required to be on the lake. You have a service level agreement to maintain the trail there. People having their dogs on the lead is indicative of a conscientious dog walker. Again, conscientious dog walkers tend to pick up their after them. It also removes the fact that if your dog is 20 yards behind you, I say all the time, people might have bags, they don't go back because the axe coming up, they just leave it lying there. So I think it's there's provisions for that in bylaw, we know there's provisions for that. 5-1, we call it the Coast and Glens website, and even in practice too, there are dog exclusion zones in the High Terrace ones along the East Strand and West Strand. The dogs can't have a dog found there because the dogs aren't allowed there. Similarly, there are places where the dogs are required to be on leash. It's that simple. And again, I mean, it's extending on Counselor Clark's point about having the bags, but keep them on leash. And it also takes other antisocial dog owners, the you know, runners who get tangled up in dogs, runners, other dogs who have violent dogs that, you know, essentially attack other dogs. If it happens, there's a physical attack on Castlewell Lake on the back of a dog. Starting a fight with another dog, so it is. I mean, there's something needs to be done. Also, again, I said the point as well before. Tropical caryatids. That's what causes children to go blind. I mean, that, you know, to have a cartoon picture essentially of an excrement, you know, and a child kicking a football. It does not do this issue justice. I mean, it just simply doesn't do this issue justice. It doesn't show the carnage of dog dirt through the house clubs, the carnage of dog dirt through the vandals or the cars, the dog dirt on the bike paths. I mean, it just doesn't do it justice. And I mean, I know that this principle, whatever is done, that's all well and good. But I think it's not to the point. We can put cancered lungs on cigarette packs. Why can't we do the same with their own propaganda when it comes to dog dirt? And just one last point on the housing estate. Cats are really bad. I don't know why dogs are getting all the hard time because cats are called restroom in my garden, so it is. So I understand for standing up for solidarity with dogs, and dogs are great, but cats are just bad. Just saying.
Yeah.
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 I do agree with him, and I have to try and make some of those. I have said before, I didn't think the poster was strong enough, so I have verbalised that in the past. With regard to our dogs, I know we have a dog license, and I know they can do it online and stuff. Is there any possibility that there could be, you know, whenever they sign up to have their dog license, and you know, they go to pay for it, is there a line that they could put in there and say, you know, they have to tick a box and say that I want the marketing, but also that, for example, I promise you swear to, you know, clean up my dog. Not that I'm saying that I don't pay any attention to that, but if there's a line there, you go, okay, right. The workshops, if it's not going to be for counsellors, I'm not too sure. I have two dogs, Do you know what I mean? I haven't dressed up after them, but neither did they be off my farm, okay? So I'm just saying that they'll be out in the public road if they're doing it inside the tractor. But if the workshop was good enough, you know, 41 counties going to listen to how to lift dog poo. It's not the 41 of us that probably have a problem, because we would all go rat on each other if it was one of us in it. Is it possible they'd roll this out to schools, get the education out there? Because I have a letter sent to our primary schools, and you know, with regard to that, and it's worked really well, because it's the grannies and the grandparents that are maybe at fault here. So that needs to be back, right? Maybe have to go into the schools, whatever. Also, most dogs go to the vet at some point, okay? Whether they come to your house or whatever, and you get a bill, okay? Is it a possibility that we could speak to some of the veterinarians around here and say that, can you put something on your, you know, if they're printed out or whatever, a wee thing on the invoice receipt or whatever, about the dog planning? And I know before Willie said that about the waste question, right, but you know the way we have the green bags for our recycling? Is it a possibility that an element of that money can be put to dog finding bags and given to the vet, and then say that, okay, you've brought in your dog, okay, I'm going to give you a bag of these bags for free, it's not about using. However, the issue I have is the fact that all these bags have been used. I calculated one day it would cost you something like £18 for the general average lifetime of a dog, and of how many that you would use. Part of mine that you'd make a walk in the dog twice a day, right? So it works it all out price wise one day. But obviously nobody paid any attention to me. I was doing it to myself, right? Like a half fix. But anyway, is it the possibility that we can have that scheme somewhere along that line, to do something else? People, when they put their dog stuff in the bag, just hang on the head. Just hang it there. So I started the cross country in Cabrini on Saturday. I wasn't cross country, obviously, but I was down watching the kids, right? And I walked back, you know, the beach back from Cabrini, right? And there's a dog bed there. Oh, yeah. Not that I was sleeping or. But I opened it, and it was empty. But the lady's beggars had all the dog poo bags and running them. There must have been 30 dog poo bags, right? Hello? Right? Very disturbing. Very disturbing. And a long haired friend. And somebody asked me, is it not possible that we could put bins, just regular bins along the country roads, the rural roads, right? Nah. Cow farm owners would go bonkers, you know, to start putting bins on. We find it difficult enough to enter the bins as it is, like that. But I have no problem with somebody coming along with their dog and we're using a bag to put their excellent in my bin. Some of them have moved in. That's the second thing, because I wouldn't get left with it. But there needs to be that the education. I think it's not every dog owner's like that. Okay, and we do kind of give lady dog owners, get away with it. Good dog owners, they, I think you're getting me, but you're not. But the lady dog owners are oblivious to it. We had a lady there recently, who just took her dogs up and let them run around the bays and pooed all over the road and then went up another road to dog. She said she didn't understand that there was a problem with letting her dog do it, because that's what the council did. It was for cleansing. So two mothers apparently said, "Wash your way." She cleaned her dog too, well, some nonsense. But Pat Burns over her too. It makes Pat Burns the best, and maybe just be, you get that dog, you have to sign up. So, like, site.
Michael?
I'm not sure how
to follow up. Well, maybe you know how to do that
with dog poo all the time. No, listen, I think I concur with everything that Willie has said in relation to it. You know, if we want to be serious about dog planning, then we need to put the money in there that allows us to put the officers on the ground and can deal with the issues. And it's not just as straightforward as that, because if it had been as easy as that, would have done it years ago. I don't know how many times in this chamber, in the old Legacy Council, that we discussed this and tried to come up with solutions to deal with it, and it hasn't happened. I know in the last couple of weeks I've dealt with yourself and some of your officers in relation to dog fighting issues in one point. Shopkeepers are with end with it, general public walking along the seafront, there's dog filing, and anybody wants to get down into one point in the early hours of the morning, our gays are out there singing in the streets. You know, what happens between that and the next morning, you know, they can't be held responsible for that. But there is a civic responsibility. Everybody's looking for somebody to blame.
But these are people who are their family, they live beside us, they're members of our community, and it's their dogs that they're taking out and they're fighting in our streets. So there has to be the message out there that there's a responsibility on everybody to deal with this issue. It shouldn't come down to the council standing. I would imagine if we're going to put the number of staff in place, you're talking like £100,000 a year, if you're going to put the right number for the size of the district. So it's not an easy fix, and I think people need to get real. We already have decided on a new, looking at a new policy. You know, it's not about emotion. It's not about putting a motion forward now, and we're 2 months off an election. It's about what we do thereafter. And if we're serious about it, as well, we said, then the race next year, we put the money where it's needed, and we put the enforcement officers on the street.
All right.
Thank you, Chair. And we'll just share simply, and then think the workshop's an excellent idea. Do it all, and certainly seems to be good. Going through all the comments here today, we're just 41 of those coming out, and certainly be an interesting meeting. So we'll get these flagged out to first question. So thank you.
Just before I take the council officers in to respond, a couple of things I would say myself, just on the name and shaming. I know a party colleague of mine, Councillor Bobby Hart, someone approached towards there and her neighbour's dog had done what it had to do in the footpath. So Valerie Nursery Judy reported it to the Environment Health Department and the Council. We went out to the lady and confronted her. And actually told her, you can thank your local councillor for this. So fair value was named and shamed there in that one. So has it a reverse effect at times?
Yes.
And Valerie hasn't been saying since that regards dog got and the dangers of it. But another thing, I remember putting a Facebook post up one night with Nan, saving nothing else to do, just the 31st of March, about a minute to midnight, that the council, before April Fool's Day, that the council were going to introduce dog DNA. And the amount of hits I got on that and comments, particularly on the comments, but the majority of them were all about wasting council resources. So it was, by way of a bit of a joke to me, but I thought it would have been a good idea if there's some way around introducing dog DNA when you bring your dog in to get a chip and pin that DNA and whatever else, if it's at all possible to follow on through that from dirt and hot path. Yeah. Over to you, Rob.
Thank you, Chair. I suppose there's lots of positive comments from councillors tonight, a real strong engagement. Everyone wants the same thing, to come with a plan that works. If councillors are happy enough, I don't propose to go into every single proposal which was discussed this evening. We've taken a note of everything. We will bring this back as part of the workshop. So what's been suggested tonight, what officers think, the way the roadmap forward is, and then whatever else comes out of the workshop, and try and come up with a coherent plan and strategy of how to deal with this. In addition to the phase one, which we already tackled, which Councillor Clark referred to. So if members are happy enough with that, Chair, maybe I shall be John, who can just present the paper on the workshop.
Number 6, Alan.
Yeah, okay, sir. Thank you very much. Yeah, I'll not rehearse what members have said. I suppose the rationale. I suppose what we are trying to do, similar to what we did with the review of the household recycling centres, is explore with you the whole range of issues which are underpinning what is a serious issue across our district. And members have articulated some of the drivers behind that and they suggested some ideas for improvement. So we have an outline agenda suggested there. We have provisionally arranged for this to be held on Friday the 22nd of March. And really what we'd like to do is agree with you a much more strategic, joined up way as to how we address this issue and produce a shared action plan coming out of that, which we will then take back to committee again for member support and endorsement. And that in itself then will then shape whether there's requirement for additional resource, how we better use existing resources, how we work with other agencies, how, for example, we work with the community and so forth. So, Chair, without summing up, if I could maybe ask members to support that, we propose in a second. Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to move on. Right, items 7, 8 and 9 are all planning issues. Anthony, over to you. Do you want to present them? Or just want to ask councillors, have obviously read them all. Is there any concerns that they might have, you would maybe answer? Do they have any concerns or queries? No? 7, 8 and 9?
just need a proposal and a second for those three items on the agenda. Proposed by Councillor Gillan, seconded by Councillor Hazard. Happy enough. Thank you very much for that. On to item number 10, Neighbourhood Services Project. Johnny, is that over to you?
Hello, Roland. Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Yes, the report set in front of you is essentially the working of our first inaugural Neighbourhood Services Working Group. So we've set out the key actions and we're just looking for a proposal and a seconder for that report, please.
Proposed by Councillor Clark. Thank you very much, sir. Items 11, 12 and 13, Facilities Management Maintenance. It's over to you.
Thanks, Chair. The first report is up. It's about the old Crag Church and graveyard in Westraver, and the report is for decision, Chair. The Council has responsibility to maintain a number of old historic graveyards throughout the district, including the one in Westraver. Within the graveyard, there's the remains of an old church. So just the four walls exist on site for the church, and a crack has appeared in the gable end of the wall, and that was identified just before Christmas. We've had a structural engineer to have a look at the crack first, Chair, and he has made a number of recommendations. The first step we've taken is that we've closed off the site and put a sign up to indicate that there is a potential issue with the wall and just advise people to stay out at present. But what the structural engineer has recommended is that we monitor it for a period of time, and there's a method we do that with telltales, and it'll indicate whether the crack is getting worse or whether it's remaining the same. We can allow people back in, Chair, provided we fence off part of the churchyard so that we won't spoil the enjoyment of people who like to visit that churchyard totally. We'll allow them in, but restrict where they can move to. The other thing he's recommending, Chair, is that we would appoint an architect that specialises in this type of work that's going to be required to this old church ruin, who can then advise us what's the best way to try and deal with this particular issue, based on his own knowledge, but also based on the signs we have from the monitoring of the crack itself. And we would intend then, Chair, coming back to the committee with any of the recommendations that he would have for the council in relation to this, with also an idea of the potential cost that this may have. So, Chair, that is the recommendations, that we would follow those steps and appoint a suitably qualified architect.
Just to say, I mean, obviously the first important thing that needs to be made safe, but to preserve it for future generations, I mean, it is historic interest. I think we don't really have an option just to leave it as it is. Read the full report on it. Happy to propose to accept the officer's recommendation and just keep it sorted. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, what he was saying to me is in terms of the replacement going to be no, it's going to be, obviously anybody who knows the Richard graveyard, the story of the nature of it and the picturesque nature of the graveyard as well, and it's important that we as a council try to maintain that by whatever means that is, and I agree with what Gavin has said in relation to how we go about that, but I think also on getting the message out there, Gavin, as to why we're doing what we're doing and why we might have to restrict. Obviously through the local churches and out there to make sure that everybody's well aware of what we're doing before we do it. But obviously agree totally with this proposal.
Alright. Thanks so much, Chair, and welcome to the paper. In other words, I'd just like to ask at this stage, would there be any other streams of funding available to help preserve this church, so like the environment heritage agencies or whatever? Because I know we've got a couple of cases before this committee where we had the path out of the graveyard at Dacomit, and also Macro Drow, the old country church out of St. Balmahenshin. Like we have something similar to Carla Cali and Cavour. It's an old graveyard where Enterprise Ulster and all we've done a lot of work to tidy it up, and I'm just wondering, is there any other schemes of funding that may be available to preserve the next of us and others for future generations?
Take Andy and Andy, you're next.
So I've just reading through the notes, and yeah, happy to support whatever. I think it's very important, as Councillor Harvey and others have touched on. Just curious, how old is said church? Because I know there's some, I mean, it is fantastic, you know, when you visit the West of Ireland, other places where these structures have been kept and maintained for the public, that it is a very viable, tangible connection to our past, and it is so vital. But I'm just curious, not being familiar with the area, and we don't want to get that answer, not time to discuss it with what it is the church was, so I think.
Just a very quick point, Chair. Essentially, I'm happy with everything that's been said and the direction it's moving. Just from the officer's point of view, it might have been helpful for some of us to have a few photographs that we could put up there. At least we'd see what it's like. DA councillors obviously know the site, but the rest of us would have maybe done better. Something maybe to bear in mind for the future.
I have not been
moved
for
coffee.
Whenever this was first brought up, I think it was photographed. This has been brought up.
Sometimes
maybe
about a year
or two.
Yeah. Kevin,
you
want to
respond to any of those concerns?
Yeah, we'll take on board the suggestion that we publicise why we're doing what we're doing, and we look to see what best ways we can do that. In terms of funding, there is likely to be funding available, but through NIA, but it becomes frozen from time to time in terms of giving out grants, and it can be a long, laborious process to go through that. But one of the advantages in taking on board an architect that specializes in this type of work is that they'll be aware of the funding streams that are available and what this type of project would apply for. In terms of the age of the church, I thought I had that in the report, and I may be quoting myself wrong, but I think it was in around about the 18th century. The photographs, yes, I take your point. If members are extremely interested, I can send them photographs that we have of the particular crack itself. But also, if you Google on your computers Crag Old Church, you'll find photographs of the old church. It is a beautiful site, and certainly worthwhile the council doing what it can to preserve that site for future generations.
Let's
just move on to number
12 then. Councillor Harvey, thank
you. Chair, the second report is about the update of the public convenience project and development strategy. So this report is for noting, because we've discussed this numerous times within the committee. The committee will remember that there are 31 public conveniences across the district, and we've agreed a capital project of about $1.2 million to be spent over 3 financial years to try and upgrade the existing facilities we have. And one of the key elements that we agreed in committee is to set up an interdepartmental study group of officers to look at the provision of public convenience to make sure how we spend our $1.2 million is best directed towards meeting other strategies that the council has in relation to tourism and place strategy, so that what we do is directed towards helping those strategies achieve what they're trying to achieve. Moving forward, what we have done is we've appointed the British Toilet Association to help us with this, and what the report is outlining is what our programme of works is going to be. The intention is that we will have the user surveys carried out of all the 31 PCs that we have across the district. We'll meet as an officers group to review that, and then we will develop, with the expertise that the British Toilet Association will provide us with, a strategy looking at all the different sort of formats that we can have in terms of providing a public convenience service, the types of service that we provide, how we clean them, how we maintain them. And from that, we will intend to bring back to the June Committee of the Neighbourhood Services a strategy on how best we feel that we can spend this $1.2 million on behalf of the council. So, Chair, it is for noting, it's just to let councillors know the progress that we're making and the direction of travel that we're going in.
Are you on speaking this, or do you want to just propose it for noting?
Yeah, it's just in relation to the toilet provision. And I know a lot of councillors spoke about toilets in other areas, but in relation, I know there's been a lot of investment in recent years, you know, in relation to the toilet provision and the district, you know, but, you know, the next of those buildings or next of the metal structures have a time span, and I'm just wondering how much of a time span would they have, and is it a case of a rolling process that, well, the time you replace the ones that are most need, you're getting back to scratch again, the ones that say were built 15, 20 years ago, the, you know, that they've outlived the usefulness, and will it be a rolling process right across all the toilet blocks that are under council ownership right across the district? But I do propose that, I do go with the recommendation of the paper, but that's just a query to have along with it.
Do you want to second and then come in?
Yeah, it's second. Just to say, I agree with the approach, strategic approach, and involved in all the different other
aspects of council and different plans, corporate plans and stuff, and tourism plans. It's just in regards to the survey was carried out, and we did identify the priorities in the area, so we're going to carry out another survey to look at the priorities in the area. There's a bit of duplication there, and understanding the British, what do you call it? British Thailand Association, whatever they're called. There's going to be a system network. So maybe your expertise, maybe it's going to give more weight to the investigation. It's just that Newcastle, all our town of Skinhead is very poor and in need of refurbishment and some of them replacement. Newcastle is one of our tourism towns, main tourism towns, with massive complaints last year, real negativity in regards to the town of provision. So I see the guys getting some of them today, so I welcome that. But in regards to, you know, ensuring that they're fit for purpose, I'd like to ask their focus to own it.
If you get that proposal in Shanghai, can I talk to them? Love it. Next one, I am for our list manager.
No.
Number 13. Sorry about that, Kevin.
Yeah, sure. Maybe I'll just come back on that other one, just on a couple of points that Mr. Andrews raised. A lot of our toilets are sort of block construction, so they resistant construction. There are a number within the Lazy Down area, 13 or so, which are what we would call the old Danfo, which are kind of porta cabins, which have probably been put on site. And they probably would say that they've outlived their useful life. But interestingly, and it maybe relates to also what Councillor Clark was saying, we did do a high-level survey of the public conveniences, and we said this is where we think the £1.2 million should be spent. Now, since that time, the council has appointed a contractor to carry out a condition survey, a building construction condition survey of all of its properties, and that survey is reaching its conclusion. And the majority of our public conveniences have now been assessed by this independent contractor in terms of their construction and what is the likely maintenance required to those premises over the next 4 to 5 years. Now, they're rating all of our buildings on an A to D scale, with A being brand spanking new within the first 5 years. B then is not bad, it's got some minor repairs that need to be carried out, right down to D, where you're dealing with a pretty poor building. And the majority of the buildings being assessed right across the stock is coming in at B, and all of the public conveniences on that survey, that independent survey, is coming in at B. So that's telling us that, you know, the stock that we have structurally is not that bad. It needs work done to it. But this is, I think, where the British Toilet Association can really help us, because they're not looking at the structure, but they're looking at how these things can be used. And one of the examples actually been quoted to me by a member of staff is that with those Danfo type units, we have urinals within the structure. But you open the door and you step in, and that's you're at the urinal. And he has a young family, and he would take his son to these areas. And he has difficulty then in using that type of facility, because he opens the door, he puts his son in, and he can't close the door, so he has to use that. Now, that's where the British Toilet Association will pick up on these things, how these things actually are used, how they can be used by people who have disabilities, how they can be used by people who are living with autism. So that's where we will have. So currently what we're saying is the structural condition survey come back and says, well, listen, these things aren't too bad. But I feel that this user survey that the British Toilet Association will help us say is that structurally they may not be that bad, but in terms of user, for our users, they're not great. And that's where we will then be able to look to see where best we can spend the £1.2 million. And then the next report is about the appointment of the design team.
Just in regards to coming into Easter and the tourism area in the Newcastle, can we ensure that the toilets are kept in the state?
One of the things that we did last year, but it was at a considerable expense, was over that summertime period, we focused a squad to clean Newcastle toilets and do that only, which meant that they were moving from one to the other and just doing that on a cycle basis, which allowed us to clean them on a three or four times a day basis. And that made such a significant difference, because that was the first year in my time here that we ever got compliments about the standard that the toilets were. It was the previous summer where we had one person trying to cope with all of them. We were inundated with complaints. So it is, and I suppose it goes back to the comments the councillors made earlier about the rate setting. It's what officers can do within the budget that they have. There are lots of competing priorities, and I suppose the cleansing section will have to determine whether it has the funds to provide that extra resource to Newcastle during those peak tourism times.
Sure, no, I agree with the resources in the place, but the problem I have, it undermines everything we're trying to do as a council. We're trying to create our council region as the most popular tourist resort on the side. But to do that, we can't have dirty toilets. It's as simple as that. The family visits, they will never return if they have a bad experience. And I think we have to do everything we can to ensure that the toilets are kept a clean state, not just for tourists, but for locals as well. You know, where young families using play parks and they go to the toilet and they can't go in because it's that dirty. And once that goes on to social media, it is very, very damaging to the credibility of the council. You know, and it takes a lot of effort. And I appreciate that we did put extra resources in. We followed the bank holiday, where there was a lot of complaints in regards to the toilets. You know, so I just think the credibility of the council will be damaged if we don't provide the service. Because you have thousands of people using their toilets, you know, and you have to put the resources in to get them clean.
Go ahead, you want to add? Yes, thanks very much, Chair, for that. And I do, it's good to hear tonight no calls for additional resources and staffing to the bottom of these services. I know time and time again it's sounded like a well-worn record. I've got all about additional staff being recruited. And I know at this stage with the rates process set, not for this year, but if whoever makes it over the line come now the third, well, maybe that'll be a programme of work in the next mandate to look at the drawn down funding streams as well as written at council. I mean, I know in the former legacy councils, I know Councillor Walker, Councillor Clark and Savin spoke about getting people who weren't working, maybe getting them in, but I think realistically if it is a case of actual resources, we'll have to sit down and see where we can get the money from to put staff in the frontline staff in the places where they need it, and you know, to deal with and make sure that we do have a district setting moment. Well, that's not taking away anything from the efforts and hard work that our staff are doing at present, but if we need more staff, we'll have to identify the funds to pay for them.
Compliments on our side, sir. Lo and behold, what next?
Chair, Dick's reports about the appointment of a design team for the sanitary extension projects that we have. The report is for a season. The council has agreed capital budgets for the extension of Monk's Hill Municipal Sanitary and Kilbroney Municipal Sanitary. It'll be phase three of Monk's Hill Municipal Sanitary. There is a separate report on later on tonight about the Living Committee to go ahead with phase two. But it's also then about extending Kilbroney Cemetery, which will be our phase two. The officers need technical support to move these things forward through the initial design, the statutory approvals, the appointment of a suitable contractor and monitoring, managing that on site. And what the report is asking the committee to do is to agree for the council to go out and appoint a suitable design team to assist us with through those different stages for the phase three of Monk's Hill extension and the phase two of Kilbroney Municipal Cemetery extension.
Thank you.
Come on to
waste management, item number 14.
Is that you, Roland? No, this is myself, Chair. Thank you. So, the purpose of this report is to set out a scale of charges for commercial waste services for the period next year, 1920 year. This will be something that the committee would do every year in line with the rate estimates process and also in accordance with the aims and objectives of the council's waste management strategy. Chair, the proposed charges are set out in the paper, so like, I don't propose to go with them, other than to summarise that we're proposing a 1.99% increase across the majority of the services, particularly for black bin and residual waste services. we're also proposing to hold pricing for blue and brown and actually reduce the cost of the brown bin collection service to align that with the blue bin. As I said, Chair, everything is set out in the paper. Unless members have any questions or comments, I'm going to be asked for members' agreement to that, please. Thank you.
Chair, I just wanted to make a wee comment in relation to commercial charges. And I know sometimes I would get it from constituents. Say, for example, there's a new housing development, and people moving into a new housing development and expected to cough up for a new set of bins. But I'm wondering, is there anything that in line with the council could do, or say, for example, if a contractor is starting a new development, that instead of the homeowners having to pay out for a black, blue, or brown bin, that maybe those bins could be put in and that the contractor or a developer could be liable to charge, because I do get that from students who move into the new house and they're expected to stumble for them. You know, the same developer on the that they have to pay for bins whenever children should be there.
Lily?
Chair, sure, just getting back to the subject, Mike. In regards to the proposal or the recommendation, I'm happy to propose we accept the recommendation. I'm happy to see no increase in the blue and the brown bin collection charges, and also reduce the cost of the brown bin.
Yes. We have a seconder on that, seconded by Mr. Craig. On to item number 15. Thank you again, Johnny.
Chair, I'll be very brief here. This is just for noting. It is there is quarter two statistics in respect of the council's performance for July and December in 2018. Really, Chair, summary, it is a good news story for this council district. We continue to reduce our waste and riding figures and indeed increase our recycling rates. And in terms of a comparable performance with the same period last year, we have increased our recycling rate by 5.3 percentage points. So, Chair, this is to be welcomed. Yes, there's room for more improvement, but you will see more initiatives being brought forward to this committee, which again will underpin our commitment to achieving the 50% target by 2020. Again, this is just really sharing this. Members, any comments or questions?
Thank you, Chair. And those just comments, just for note. I think it's good to see that 70-80% is in landfill in 06 and 07, and now 30-40%, and I think that's amazing. We're definitely doing a good job. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Chair. And again, it's a good news story, and that's good to see that slowly but surely we're well ahead in the right path to meeting our targets. And hopefully, at the rate of improvement that it's spread over the next couple of years, that we will reach our overall figure. And the residents of the district who engage in the sector are very much commended and congratulated. And also the fact is that to our frontline staff who deliver a good service, they're to be commended also. And as I say, I firmly believe that we talk about education, and maybe getting a message out into the likes of schools and youth clubs, whatever. I think that's the young people of today are going to be the future recyclers of in 10 years' time. But again, it's to be very much welcomed.
Could we have a proposal in second? Did we get that? Item number 16 is the action sheet arising from the working group.
Yes, Chair, that was the Strategic Waste Management Group meeting on the 20th of November. Apologies to members, this should have come to the December committee, so that was no second off part. Again, just have member approval to do that action sheet, please.
Do you need a proposal and second for that? Items 17, 18, and 19 are for noting or coming on. 17 and 18. Any issues on it, gentlemen? Proposal and second, I'll be accept those two reports. Helping us to move on. Item 19 is the historic action sheet.
Yes, sir. That's just for noting. We should draw members' attention to the reuse scheme. We'll be picking that up as part of the Household Recycling Centre's review, so we'll be bringing forward recommendations in accordance with that. Just ask members to note that, please.
Thanks so much. I mean, I just released them to the old furniture council recycling sites. I know this has been on the agenda for since 2015, but I do welcome the development of our expressions of interest that phase one has been created with then returns received, and I think it's it's a good news story there too, so I look forward to seeing that being rolled out, so it's been welcome to too.
Do you have a seconder for you proposing when you accept that? No? Seconder for the opening? Sure. Yeah, thanks. Right, items 20, 21, 22, 23, 24 and 25 are deemed to be exempt on the paragraph C of Part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information and the public, may by resolution be excluded during those items of business. Can we have a proposal and a seconder for going into committee, please? Proposed by Gillian, seconded by Sarah. Yeah. So while we're in there, gentlemen, this is really such as what we proposed on item 20, our 21 presentation on the proposal. Proposal of Council Willie Clark, second by Councillor Jim Kilpatrick, is agreed to note the R21 presentation. On items 21 and 22, organic waste treatment service contract and the inclusion of the legacy organic waste in the waste treatment contract. It was proposed by Councillor Jennifer Paddock, second by Councillor Michael Wan, that we have a special council meeting on those two issues alone. On item 23, the ARC 21 NDR procurement update, which was for noting on the proposal of Councillor Michael Wan, second by Councillor Jennifer Paddock, with a brief note, the update on ARC 21 NDR procurement as provided by officials. Item 24, report on business case for cleaning services. On the proposal of Gareth Craig, seconded by Councillor Terry Andrews, it was agreed to note the content of the report dated 20th February 2018 and associated business case, and to accept the conclusion of the business case that option 2 was the preferred option for the appointment of a contractor to undertake daily cleaning at Downshire Civic Centre and Strangford Road Depot, Downpatrick. And item 25, Monkshill Cemetery Phase 2 extension. On the proposal of Councillor Gareth Craig, second by Councillor Michael Wallen, it was agreed to note the content of the report dated 20th February 2018 and associated business case, to accept the conclusion of the business case of option 2 with the preferred option for the appointment of a contractor to undertake the works required to complete phase 2 of Monk's Hill Cemetery and make ready an additional 280 burial plots. I've been up to the Sri Lanka record. Have you enough, Clint? I think that's it.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that. Councillors.